Hello, friends. Here we are once more. We're down to the last two, and we're almost there. Thank fuck. Today, we have thoughts is talking about 1917, the year of our Lord 1917. That is nominated for 10 Oscar awards. Best picture, obviously. Best director, Sam Mendes. Best original screenplay. Best cinematography. Best makeup and hairstyling. Best production design. Best score by Thomas Newman. Best visual effects. Best sound mixing. Best sound editing. I'm out of breath. This is the year of our Lord, 1917. Except that was like 103 years ago. So it's not. This is Joy.
This is Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And this is us.
Welcome back.
We have some things to say. All right, someone else.
So this is like, this is in the top running right now with like Parasite.
Yeah, it's for best picture with Parasite, what I've heard.
Which is exciting. I love when there's a race and it's not just decided who's gonna win. So I'm a little excited about that.
Estoy muy excited. I guess initial thoughts. I liked it, actually.
Me too. I loved it.
I couldn't help but compare it to Dunkirk, which actually I think Dunkirk was better.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, and here's why. I feel like, technically, no. It was not better. But I feel like I got to know the characters more in Dunkirk.
Yeah, because we don't really hear their names until the end of the film.
No, that's not what this movie was wanting to do, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It was more like a linear story.
It was plot-driven.
Yeah. There was a mission. It was a mission story.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't normally need, like, characters sometimes, but I feel like Dunkirk slightly was just a little bit better for me.
That's so interesting to hear. Anna, what did you think?
I would disagree. Mm-hmm. I thought there were parts of Dunkirk where I kind of dipped in and out of paying attention a bit more.
Oh, really?
Whereas this, I was
riveted,
my eyes were glued to the screen the entire time. And I like, I do think Dunkirk was more effective in the use of the, like, the ticking.
Yeah.
Where this only had it in certain spots, I feel like.
You felt a sense of urgency within the character's acting, like in his face, in his like his the way he was moving. You felt the what do you call it? The urgency there, as opposed to like Dunkirk, the sound was the energy.
Yeah, this wasn't driven necessarily by the score. I think Dunkirk heavily relied on the score.
And Dunkirk also had just a lot more going on, and I liked the singularity of this one. Like there was,
they're different. They're very different. But I think I just prefer Dunkirk better.
I think I'd take this one.
Yeah,
I agree with Anna. I would take this way over Dunkirk.
Really, way over Dunkirk.
Yeah, like I don't like. I think Dunkirk was. I mean, Christopher Nolan is talented and he's very good at what he does. But I don't think that Dunkirk was as effective as this. Maybe because I'm here in a catatonic state now. But I really think that I don't see what you mean about not knowing the characters, because I feel like I know them very well.
I was just about to say, in Dunkirk, when they're like drowning in the submarine, like that was effective. But I also didn't know those people.
Yeah.
But like watching these two boys, these children.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
These youths.
No, they're children.
They're youths.
Yeah, they're so young.
Young men.
Going through what they're going through and just being focused on them the entire time, I do feel like I knew them better.
Yeah. Because I feel like once he... What I know them better, but I don't know their names. The one that made it all the way there. What's his name?
Again,
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I know this. It's Schofield or something.
Schofield,
like that.
Okay. Once he gets to the end and he gets to the other guy's brother. Is it Baker? What's the other guy?
Yeah, I think it's Baker.
Once he gets to his brother. Once he gets to Richard Madden.
Oh, we're jumping ahead. Okay. Hold on. Let me go over there.
Blake.
Once he gets to Blake. I think that you can feel the heaviness of like him delivering this news because you know this person.
Well, yeah.
And so you're connected to his brother who we've been like waiting to see this whole time.
And then that George McKay, the actor, his journey through this film was just
wild,
insane to watch. And then especially after Blake dies.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Well, I guess that's what we're doing.
This whole thing is a spoiler.
We've just been kind of jumping around. We haven't really been going through a clear line here. But when Blake dies pretty early on in the film,
the end of
the first third, I feel like.
Was it really? I felt like it was halfway.
I feel like from there, like, his performance just was beautiful.
It was
great acting.
How did Tommen get so pale when he's dying? That's interesting to me.
I know, because I was reading about that, because that's way more truthful to what actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And movies tend to not do that.
Yeah.
But just watching his face go paler and more pale. Yeah.
It was so apparent.
And then when he died, the music cut out, which I thought was a very interesting, very nice touch.
Yeah.
They let you his heart it. Stopped and the music stopped. So it was silent for like a couple of seconds there. I thought that was very interesting.
Poor Tommen.
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Girl.
No, I knew he like looked, but
I love his Tommen, by the way.
Yeah, always.
I knew he looked familiar, but like, and I know, like, I know, but like, obviously I didn't pay attention to those seasons of that garbage show.
We watched it together.
I wasn't paying attention for him.
I've seen him in three things now: Game of Thrones, this, and something else, and he dies in all three of them.
Wasn't it the one? Wait, didn't we see him in that like romantic comedy with Simon Pegg and Lake Bell? Am I tripping?
Maybe.
I might be tripping.
I have it right here. Let me pull it up.
All right. While he wasn't
something recently, but I don't remember.
He was. I mean, spoiler alert. He's kind of just he's a small part in The King with Timothée Chalamet.
Oh.
And he dies in that too. Wow, I was like, thanks. Boy,
not gonna watch it now. No, I'm just kidding.
Boy cannot stay alive.
Well, like Sean Bean dies and everything too. So, like family. Like, oh, they're not family.
No, definitely not family.
I'm getting confused with
Bran.
I don't know. Whatever. They're all the same. Anyways, so first of all, their whole mission to like deliver this message, like do it all, they all die, like no pressure. You know, yikes, high stakes, man. From the get go,
they should have at least sent like two or three other guys with them. There's no way, just because
you don't want them to be seen. So the less.
Well, I know, but like, I feel like, okay, one more guy. One more guy.
I feel like two is probably the best they could have done, just because one, you know, once he's gone and dead, that sucks. But at least if there's another one, he can carry on the.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sucks, but like, that's him. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I did love how the movie just started. Like, there wasn't, you know, like 15 minutes of, you know, you watch them just around the area where they're stationed and you see them like talking to random people. Like, it just picked up.
I still feel like it did that though. Like those first until they got,
you had like 2 minutes of them walking and having a walk and talk.
Yeah. I still feel like you had like that, like, here's our characters. Here's our intro.
Yeah. Without spending so much time on that.
Yeah, because there was stuff to do.
I really liked that it just picked up and the pace started as soon as the movie started.
I feel like my favorite cameo was, and not just because we like him, but Andrew Scott. I think
he did the most
with what he had. And I feel like I want like, can we just stay here with him? Like, I like his character. I like his just like,
he's just a really good aura. Actor.
Oh yeah, yeah. I felt the whole like linear of it, because we talk to them and then we go somewhere else, and it just felt like
this movie had so many stars, like so many big names attached, that I'm so surprised there wasn't a push for like Benedict Cumberbatch or Colin Firth, like a push for like supporting actor.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't have supported that. I wouldn't have been like, they deserve it because they were in it for so long, but because they're such big names, I'm surprised there wasn't any kind of attention.
No. I never thought of that.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Like, it'd be very easily for them. I think if it was any other year.
Maybe
it'd be easier for them to get in there. But because this year is pretty stacked, it's like harder. Even though, because I think technically to me, they feel more like cameos. But I understand that as a award, as like an
I don't call it fucking, but that's cool.
What is the word?
I call it lovemaking.
Shut up.
Ew, get out of here. You a battery boy? Get out.
What is that thing where you champion yourself for an award?
campaigning.
God, I like this game. Go again.
I can't. I'm so done. As far as like campaigning goes, like it would have really been really easy to be like, oh, supporting actor for Colin Firth or support Colin Firth. What was his name? Supporting actor
Colin for Andrew Scott, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, I feel like any other.
What was his name? Mark Strong.
That's his name.
Mark Strong was great.
I feel like in past years there have been movies where a character is in it for literally 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they get the nomination.
Yeah. Ooh, do you have any examples?
Not off the top of my head. I should look it up. I should have done that.
No, also, to me, like, it felt like I know it's kind of stupid. Like, I don't think I was registering, like, the passage of time. Mm. Which is weird because it's one, quote unquote, one continuous shot. So I should be registering each minute as a minute. Yeah. But I wasn't, like, it wasn't clicking in my head that they were there for like 5 minutes or for 10 minutes or whatever. It just felt like
a moment.
No, it just felt like so long. I know this movie was only 2 hours. I felt like I was sitting there for a million years.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably like the pressure of it.
And like, I don't, and like to preface this with, I don't like war movies and I don't like to watch them, but I still like did it and it was awful. And like I hate it, but I completely see why it is where it is and why it's probably why it won the Producers Guild Award or whatever, because everything is in the details.
Question.
Yeah,
I think it was during the Globes you had said that you were curious about all of this hoopla about Sam Mendes getting this nomination and them talking about the director and the one shot of this and you thought it was gimmicky. How do you feel after seeing it?
Okay, so now after seeing it, I don't feel like it's gimmicky. I think that it did prove its point in using this kind of storytelling
in like real time.
In real time, yes. But it, I feel that was very important to the type of story it is in order to, it sounds stupid, in order to give you a sense of time that it be done like this. I think that it could have been really easy gimmicky, really easily gimmicky if it was shot, which I know it's completely different, but if it was shot like a reality show where you're going from like, you have the camera here and let's say that the camera's on you and then the camera goes to Crystal. It just like, it's an easy pan over.
Like,
but in this,
it was so smooth and
yes, in this, seamless. There was really creative choices, really smart choices in how to get from one shot to the next.
I loved watching those transitions.
Yes. The transitions were really good because instead of being like, I'm going from left screen to right screen. No, I'm going to go from top left to the floor. And then I'm going to do a 180 and then I'm going to go back to the next person.
The only shot that I thought was used like maybe one or two too many times was when when someone's talking, they would go around their face.
Yes.
I was like,
that was the only time
I've seen that like 4 times. And I wish they would have found a different way or just kept it a straight shot.
Right.
That's the only one that stuck out to me.
But for the most part, what's the cinematographer's name? Roger Deakins.
Phenomenal.
I mean, obviously, like, he's a legend in cinematography for the history of filmmaking and whatever. But I feel like it was really smart the way he did it because obviously there's a lot of production value into this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of details into this. And so his transition included shots of the details. So shots of, like, the rat and shots of, like, the bloated bodies in the river and like different things like that. And especially when it was, I think when they were in the tunnels, when they first get into the German area and it goes from like showing you the beds to like showing you one guy to the other guy to the end of the room. And it's more like you're looking at it through one of their perspectives because it's like, oh, I'm searching the room or whatever.
It's like a video game.
Yeah,
it's shot from behind him, so it's almost like you're playing a video game.
Yeah, and actually, there was an article written about that, and I don't remember who it commented on it. I think it was David Elric, but I'm not totally sure at the moment.
How was his name pronounced? We looked
David,
it up.
David.
I don't know. We'll look it up again.
Yeah,
Elric von Lichtenstein.
No.
But somebody wrote an article about, they made the comment that 1917 had that sort of video game aesthetic. But that was not to say to cheapen right. the film at all, because it was a very some elevated video games way.
Are so yes. beautiful.
So it's good. They're insane. Cinematic.
That's what's They're gotten cinematic. Me back into gaming. The little gaming that I do is, I think I didn't realize that all video games aren't just guns and shooting. Like, there's yeah. stories being told, and I love that.
I
love snooping and exploring in video games. I'm sorry.
So I do think as well that the one shot, or quote unquote one shot, is a good idea, just because it's, like I said, it's a mission story. It's a very linear, so the one shot makes sense to what they're trying to do. Because it creates a challenge for everyone, but it's like a needed challenge, like a good challenge. You know, I feel like that's what makes it different. It could have, without that, because the story itself isn't like that exciting. Not that sounds wrong.
It aided in it's the
nothing new, anyway. Correct. So correct. It aided in making it
the different. Pacing of it. Yeah, I think
creating, like, you know, your heart's being at your chest, and it's very slow, and it's. I think it made sense.
I did read that earlier. You had mentioned all the bodies kind of strewn about. They had to like go around and tell people where they were filming and put signs like, warning, these are not real dead bodies. If you're walking around and you see, like, it's not real.
Yes, I've read that before with other movies when there's like a lot of bodies everywhere. Mm-hmm. They have to be like, hey, yo, this is fake. And I didn't terrifying. Like to see it, but the detail of like it, when they're first going into no man's land, all that mud, and you see just like someone's shoulder. Like the thing on their uniform, mm-hmm. you just see like coming out of the mud. I mean, it was gross, but I liked that detail.
Yeah, like it felt very real.
And when they're panning across the man's end, like you said earlier, like it's slow, so you're able to see all those little bitty details. Very, very interesting.
It reminds me of when they were first filming Lost, and they hadn't, like, they were in Hawaii and they had this huge plane wreckage. And it's like burning, and people are flying into Hawaii, and they had to come over and be like, they're filming a show. There wasn't a plane crash. Everyone's okay, because they were freaking out, thinking, oh my God, someone crashed a plane.
I really also liked when they're in that bunker before it collapses on, mm-hmm. on Schofield, is his name, right? Mm-hmm. All that was really great. That was shot really great. Cause you really just kind of see their flashlights and what the flashlight is showing. It kind of created like a scary movie type of feel to me.
The suspense, yeah.
Like what's gonna be around the corner? What's blah blah blah. So that was very good too. All that was shot really great.
I kept thinking about back to like what I learned about World War I in school, mm-hmm. and all I really remember is Napoleon Bonaparte. And two, I had this
That was World War I?
Yeah, wasn't it? The assassination of Napoleon?
Dynamite?
Archduke Ferdinand?
Mm-hmm, Ferdinand.
My bad.
Napoleon. I was like, Napoleon is in France
don't,
like 100 years
don't listen to
prior
me.
At least.
I'm Y'all went so to college, smart. So yeah, I have a college
I never said
degree.
I studied history.
I mean, right? You just corrected her, so...
apologies.
Because I only ever remember because of Franz Ferdinand. That's how I remembered. It's the war started Archduke. Because of the assassination of Franz Ferdinand.
That's what I meant. I'm going to cut this whole part out.
And that's what I heard, so you're fine.
But what I was really focused on was, I remember my teacher talking a lot about like trench foot.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time they're stepping in these muddy puddles going across no man's land, I was like, you guys don't have extra socks. What are you doing?
Oh, I know.
Like,
yikes.
And then he like, I just,
yeah, don't, I don't, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I know what you're going
to
say.
But that is all I thought about the whole movie. It was like, these poor feet, all these men and their feet are so gross.
I was thinking about something else, but yes.
with
the hand,
the rat.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that.
That was a lot.
That was, I feel like maybe.
Again, that was where.
Unnecessary.
That was where the throw up started happening a little bit.
Oh no.
I saw that and I was like,
and the way it's shot, like, you know what's gonna happen. And
yeah,
like,
and you still,
I don't want to see this. And there it happened.
What I was thinking was, he just stabbed his hand.
Yeah, and then it's,
and now that, and now he, I'm pretty sure he's gonna die of some disease before
also,
he gets to
another thing too. Like, Schofield should have died a bunch of times. like a bunch of times. Also, I guess the Germans all terrible shots because I know I'm jumping ahead, but later on when he's in that like French village or something,
the burned down church.
Yeah, like he got shot at a lot, and I was like, is everyone horrible shots in this? I mean, well, whatever.
Well, because they were all moving.
Well, that's true. But there was one where like George McKay, right, mm-hmm. is walking, and it's beautiful shot of like the burning village and him walking mm-hmm. towards his silhouette, and then
oh yeah, they're like walking.
They're walking towards him and shooting. And he's like, oh, I should probably run, and he just runs. I'm well, like,
he's still like,
I know, just but like he, again, he should have like been dead a bunch of times.
Yeah, no, how he did all that running with the concussion he probably had.
I know
the two like, concussions.
Ugh, poor guy.
I know, right. So okay. I really like, I'm going to jump back to where they're in the barn and he sees the milk and all that. They're searching through. There's a shot where Tommen is like
in the interior.
Mm-hmm. It's in the interior. And then it's just the frame of the window that's broken. That, wow.
The window, because it was, wow. It was three layers. It was Schofield, the window, and then him, his silhouette.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
I literally went, that was amazing.
It was beautiful. I was like, okay, maybe worth it for the shot alone because that was stunning.
Speaking of throwing up, like that's the scene with the milk. I like the thought of milk grosses me out. I don't like milk. And the fact that he was just like drinking it and
poor thing was thirsty.
I get it. But like to me, I was like, that's gross. That's a little milk.
Also like, he's a German soldier, and I know you want to help him, but like, inevitably, that broke like
my heart. He was.
That's how he ended up.
I like
dying.
How the camera was on Schofield when he's getting the water, yes. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like. And I'm so glad it's also in a theater because it, you hear behind you the mic of like struggle, and so much like him, you're and like, no, what's going no. on? So yeah. you almost like want to turn, but then the camera pans, you're like, oh no! And so it just all that was so good. The way that was staged, the choreography of how to get around the camera,
and then he never had a helmet again, and I was like, boy. Pick up your goddamn helmet and protect your fucking
distraught.
Head.
He is distraught.
I know.
Thing. And he takes off his rings and he puts them in the...
That was...
Also, I think his name is Dean Charles Chapman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's really good. Wow. He was really great. I was very impressed with him. His dying scene, I was like, oh, I'm crying.
Right? Like,
yeah.
He did a good cry.
And he's like, no, no, just go without me. It's fine. Just, you know.
Although I do think it's a bit of a stretch saying that Richard Madden looks just like him, but taller.
I know, right? I was looking for like a blonde hair, blue eyed boy. Know. And I was like,
And they like stopped on this one person while they were singing yes. or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's him. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I'm like looking throughout. I'm like, I'm going to see if I spot him before Same. They call him.
Same.
And then I forgot that Richard Madden had an appearance.
Me too.
And then it showed him and I was like, really?
So back to the French village. When he...
The Stark does not look like a Lannister.
Oh my God.
Hundo B.
Well, he's a Thanks. Baratheon technically, right?
No.
But he's a Lannister.
No, Robin. Tommen. Tommen's huh? a Lannister.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My eyeball hurts.
Back
Sorry.
In the French village?
It's the French village when he's first running away from like the when he his head and he wakes up and he's mm-hmm. running. All of the flares in that were so the beautiful.
Lighting,
oh
the
my
lighting.
Good.
This is like the most expert lighting that I've
yeah.
seen. This one and I think there was a Little Women had really good lighting too.
We love us a well lit movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's wow. not even like Not even technically, not even technically well lit because like you couldn't see most of the.
But
thing.
But it's interesting light.
But it's like very well done lighting.
Yeah. Wow.
Very
I,
well
again,
done
I
lighting.
Was like, wow, that was amazing. Expert is what was happening.
It was, and I know we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but I really, we talked about it in other episodes, but I really heard the score in this, and I thought the score was beautiful. I do want to give it this and Joker and a few others a full listen, but
oh my God, Joker is so good. But, the soundtrack, by the way,
but
the
no,
score, never the film.
The score stood out to me in this one in a really great way.
It I felt like it stood out and it did its job, but it didn't like overwhelm.
No,
the yeah, film. It was a perfect companion to the rest of the film. What did you think about? Because I've read in several other interviews and like podcasts how some people didn't really care for the scene with the woman and the child.
Really?
How they felt it was like too
off pace.
Yeah. And like, oh, convenient. He had the milk from before, so here's the milk from the baby. Like, it felt too, like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine.
I didn't mind. I didn't think it seemed out of, out of.
I thought it fit whatever. In nicely, and it kind of showed, like, you know, him in a softer light. And it showed the human side of the war, which I'm always a fan of. I don't know. I didn't find it odd.
My only issue is that he didn't close the door behind him when he left her.
Yeah.
I was like, sir, there's guns going off. Why didn't you?
I know he left it open so the camera could get through, but come on.
Rude. Yeah, I didn't like that. Just the close of the door. But the scene was fine. Again, that scene was really interestingly lit too, from the mm-hmm. fire. All of that was really good. And then later on, when he sees, I mean, at the very end, fast forward, when he's looking at his pictures, like, oh, it makes sense, because, you know, he was with the woman and the little girl.
In that moment, it did break my heart when he finally sat down and she goes and puts the pressure on his head and he, like, leans into it.
Yeah.
Like, that just kind of broke my heart, because I was like, this poor guy, right now, he could fall asleep and never wake up. Like, he's just
And she was like, stay here. He's like, I can't. I have to go. I can't.
And I don't think if his brother wasn't over there, and he didn't have that connection with Blake.
Yeah, Blake's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he might have stayed. I think that would have changed his heart a little. But his promise to Blake.
Yeah.
That's also
his duty as a soldier as well, because he was going to have to help save all these lives as well.
True. But I also, you could see the weariness in him about being a soldier. And
oh, yeah. He was kind of jaded about it.
He wanted out. He wanted to be home. He did not want to.
Because before he says, like,
whenever they're talking about the medals.
Yeah. And he just stops talking because he knows it hurts too much. So he can't continue.
He's like, I went home and
you don't. It's not worse. It's worse than going and then coming back. And another part that George McKay, he was excellent. I loved, but his performance when he is getting out of the water and he's having to climb on all those things. His breakdown, he's just on all fours and he's just like, he's all the emotions pouring out of him.
I would not have been.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I would not have been upset if he had a nomination.
No, not at all. He deserved that.
He earned it.
I'm a little upset that he doesn't. He hasn't gotten any recognition.
For sure.
I didn't realize that I had seen him in Captain Fantastic.
Because he carries this movie.
He really does.
I think he's so great. And he plays Hamlet in the Ophelia movie with
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah. So now I'm kind of even more excited to see it because I have a very big respect for him now. And
yeah, he was really good.
I'm excited to watch what else he does.
He has a lot. He has very expressive eyes. His eyes were really big.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what he was feeling, you could see within his, just right here, his face. And I got emotional before that. But, like, I think the biggest emotion where I, like, started to weep was when he's running across the field in that, like, legendary shot. It was everything.
Gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. I saw behind the scenes prior to this, and I saw it again. Like, what they were doing, taking cameras off things, putting on other things as he's running, the whole, like, realization of, like, the extras bumping into him for real and him, like, falling down and getting back up. Like, you felt it. You felt all the grit, and, like, you wanted him to go faster, and you wanted everything to just, wow. Tears all the way around. That was so.
Because you see,
it was a great emotional buildup to that.
You see a snippet of it in the trailer, and I think that's immediately what we all connected to Dunkirk.
I don't think I ever saw the trailer.
Really?
I don't think I did.
They show a clip of him running, and the explosions happening behind him.
And the first, like,
And I think that's immediately what reminded me of Dunkirk was like the bombs on the beach, but seeing it with the music and.
You've been so emotional up until that point, and then,
like,
it's like
one of the best shots I've seen.
Because you see in his face, like, I'm gonna do it, and then he just does it, and then you're like, go, but then it's like high stakes go, and it's like so much is happening, and it.
I hadn't seen any behind the scenes, but as he was running into people, not planned. I knew it because it was just so, like, organic.
There's one where because they show them taking the camera off things and other things to get just one single thing, and it's phenomenal. It's masterful work. It's what's happening. I was blown away by that part.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And then I just loved that He delivers the message. It happens. And then there's just like, there's no, it wasn't this big thing. Like it wasn't.
There was still no relief.
Yeah. It was just like he did it and that's it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. Oh God, what was I just watching? Keep talking.
You know, another shot that was, I'm going to jump back. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. Another shot I really liked was when they're in the barn again and you see the plane coming, like coming at the barn. Oh my God. That was like, so again, very, like, I don't know if you've ever had like a VR thing. That's kind of what it felt like when it was like coming at me. Very good. What else was I going to say? Sorry. Oh, Richard Madden made me cry too at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, just him holding his hand out.
And him trying to be so strong and telling him, you know, go get food or whatever.
Go get yourself checked. Yeah.
Wow, Richard Madden made me cry.
And then.
Amazing.
And then Schoenfeld like stopping and talking to him more and then having that moment was really beautiful.
There's a podcast called The Big Picture. And they compared this, because it's a mission movie and linear and all that, they compared it to Lord of the Rings, which I was like, I don't really know Lord of the Rings a lot, so I don't really know. I couldn't, but I was going to mention that since you like it.
I can see that. It's two friends on a singular mission. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Lord of the Rings, there's a lot of, they're all working towards the same mission, but there's a lot of side stories happening. Yeah. I did not watch those this year or this past. I usually try and watch them
every year.
Every year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The extended editions. I try
like 6 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
the
cute.
Best. I love watching them on like rainy days when there's, you know, it's cold and it's rainy and you have a fire and you're watching Lord of the Rings. Either on one of those days or like somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't this year. And now I want to.
Interesting. They're fine. I can't. I really want to get into it, but I can't. It's just too much for me. I really did try, though.
Epic. They are epic.
Epic. So, yeah, I feel like this movie is a... I wrote it down here. Hold on. It's a technical marvel, and it's a pretty good movie. Like, if it didn't have the technical aspects, it'd just be fine. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
what makes it is...
Oh yeah, of course. So it's a technical marvel, but it just it. I don't know. Maybe I wanted the story to be a little bit meatier. I don't know.
I also love that it. You know, it comes from stories from his grandfather.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
Oh my God, when that text shows.
I had no idea that was the story, and then when I saw the
his ending note at the end of the film,
it made me cry.
It's beautiful.
And then I read a little bit into that and. He said, like, his grandfather never spoke about the war until he was in his 70s. But there were, you know, things that he, direct things in the movie from him. And then he also talked about, like, showing the grittiness and the grossness of the war, like, the hand and stuff. He was like, my grandfather was a compulsive hand washer. And we never knew why, but it stems from being in the war and being so filthy. And being surrounded by all of that. So he was always washing his hands. Just thought that was... you know, those touches, you realize there's a purpose and a reason for it. And I think that brings so much more depth to it.
Question. Yeah. Is it Sam Mendes or Sam Mendes?
I don't know.
I've heard it both.
I only said Mendes because she did. And I usually say Mendes.
I've heard it both in like different publications, like major ones. So really? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
We should ask him.
Sam.
Maybe it's Sam, Sean Mendes and then Sam Mendes.
I think that's what
Well, is it Martin Scorsese or Martin Scorsese?
Ooh,
Scorsese.
Shark Tale.
Correct.
It's Marty.
We
Marty Shark Tale.
Speaking of totally not off topic or totally off topic, whatever. So because I always notice these things in film, guess what, guys? I counted a total of 3 people of color in the film.
When I don't know if it was the first one on screen, but I saw a person of color and I was like, Joy's going to make a note of this. I was like, I don't have a watch, so I don't know how long this movie has been.
I didn't know how long it has been, but he was, they passed him in the trenches and I think he was with where Andrew Scott was.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like not a line, but he made an expression towards the camera. And then when he was when Schofield is in the truck.
When I first noticed, I didn't notice the one the person with
there was yeah
with Andrew Scott. So I noticed the character. She's noticed the truck.
Andrew Scott.
No, I think actually it was, yeah, it was in the trenches. There was a yeah, there was a black man, and yeah, they asked him like, "Hey, where's the thing at?"
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I was gonna say is when I noticed him in the truck. I was like, oh, Joy's going to make a note of this. But I was like, oh, damn, did I miss one in the trenches?
Yeah.
That was my first thought.
I don't know. I've never known how to pronounce it. It's S-I-K.
What?
Sheik? I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's like in, I don't know if it's like ethnicity, but the Middle Eastern with like the head wrap. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's a word and it starts with an S and it's four letters and I don't know how to pronounce it and I don't want to fuck it up. But he was in the truck and
so
my first because obviously I had thoughts going into this. So my first thing is that I read an article when the movie first came out. There's been 1,001 movies about World War One. So many. I don't know them, but so many. And someone had made an article like the forgotten people of World War One or the forgotten people of certain wars. So like in the US, I believe it was in World War One, there was the Tuskegee Airmen, who was a all black airmen unit that fought in the war. And in Britain, there was a group of these men that start I believe it's a religious or a cultural group that starts with an S and a S I K something. But I can't remember what it is. But anyways, yeah. So it's never shown in any sort of World War One movies, but there was a lot of these men that fought in the war for Britain, obviously, because they lived in Britain. They were British citizens and they, you know, they had a major contribution to the war and you never hear their stories and you don't know anything about it. And it wasn't until the Tuskegee Airmen, I only know because back in elementary school and those reading composition things, there was a story about them. And so that's how I learned. And then they made a movie of it like maybe 10 years ago.
Is it S-I-K-H?
Yes.
Let me play the pronunciation.
Okay.
Sikh.
Okay. Thank you. There was a big group, like, I don't know if it was a whole battalion or anything, because I read this article back when we were first talking about ward stuff. And you never see like their side or their perspective.
Right.
And so as well made of a movie as this is, I would really like to see something from their perspective. Mm-hmm. Again, not that I'm into war movies at all, but like, I want their stories. I want their contributions to be seen and felt and be validated.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that not many people know of.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they don't know it, that, you know, they're less likely to be sympathetic about it.
I just recently, like within the last year or two, realized why Brits always wear the poppy. I had no idea it was for World War One, like a World War One remembrance.
You're the one who told me that. Was that you?
Yeah.
I was like, well, they all wear the poppy, and I think it's so cute, and I love it. Is it just like a traditional thing? Like, I had no idea for years. And you know what? I think it was actually Doctor Who that taught me that.
That makes sense for you.
The one where he turns into a human, where the 10th Doctor and Martha, he takes the time watch and he becomes a human. And they're all preparing for the war. And then they flash forward and they see the student there at the memorial. And he's an old man in a wheelchair. And you see Martha putting on the doctor's poppy. And I was like, oh, that's what they're for!
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Thank you, Doctor Who.
Shout out to you, the Who Doctor.
But anyways, yeah, I would... I just want to know, like, what do they do? What about them?
It's kind of my thing about how I am so done seeing movies about the civil rights movement because, well, it's played out really, but like it's always black and white And I know for a fact there wasn't just black and white people there. Like, I don't remember if I said on the podcast before, but my mom's dad, he would tell us things like he didn't know, because he wasn't like, he was tan. He wasn't like super dark, but he wasn't light either. So like, he sometimes didn't know which bathroom to go into. Should I go into the colored one or into the white one? And some, depending on where he was or who he was with or whatever, he wouldn't be allowed in certain places. So I think an interesting perspective about that time for someone who was on that line, who like was passing sometimes wasn't. I think that's very interesting. But I'm just tired of seeing like those type of movies because they're all the same.
And what frustrates me most about those about movies is you see people of color getting nominations for those movies, yeah, for slavery movies, for civil rights movies, where they're being hurt and tortured and they're,
yeah,
I mean, it's showing, I want those stories told 100%.
Yeah, so they deserve they to are. Be told.
And I'm they're being portrayed well and they're being well done. But why aren't we nominating people of color for portraying,
yeah,
non-racial stories when they're not being tortured?
I'm just so sick of seeing black people being beaten in movies for like entertainment purposes. Like, I don't want to see it anymore. Anyways, I'm sorry. That's my, yeah.
Anyway, let's just have some dead air for so,
no. Oh, one, oh, two, okay, three. Okay, find another one. Okay, so one of my notes is, and now a musical number. Because he sings in the forest.
Oh. I was like, what? Well, because when musical you say number? Musical number, I'm like imagining da 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 da, da, like tap dancing.
That's the yoke. That's the yoke.
I know, but my head wasn't there, so I was like,
I saw the wheels turning in your head. It was adorable.
Did someone dance?
No.
I was having a moment. Singing. Yes. I thought that song would never end. I feel like there were like 50 verses. I was like, come on. This is such a sad, like.
I know. It's such a, like.
It was a needed moment for him to, like.
Yeah.
Have his moment. A little
bit of respite.
Yeah. He needed that. But also, if he wouldn't have sat there so long, maybe those first people wouldn't have gone out.
Homeboy was tired.
No, I get it. I don't.
He was carried for the waterfall. Like, all that. Good God. Wow.
Yeah.
So, do you think. I mean, I think it deserves to be nominated for Best Picture.
Me too.
While you were talking, I rewrote my ranking here. I did that.
Oh, shit, I need to do that.
So, you go first, Crystal.
Okay. So, do you want me to start from the bottom or the top?
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Oh my God, she's rapping at me. she's rapping Drake, and then she's singing 3LW earlier.
You're welcome. So whatever you want to do, babe.
At the bottom of the barrel. Oh, I should take one of these out, though, because we haven't talked about it yet. Okay. Sorry. At the bottom of the barrel is Once Upon a Time, then Joker, Marriage Story, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, 1917, and Parasite.
Mm. Yeah. Well, those are some words.
I know. And honestly, 1917 and Little Women could be swapped, but because I love the way the story was told in mm-hmm. Little Women, but the technical marvel of 1917 is, it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Apples and oranges. But yeah,
I'll go next.
Okay.
For me, the bottom of the barrel is Joker, and then The Irishman and Once Upon a Time. They could swap in and out and I wouldn't care. They're next. Marriage Story. Okay, so Joker, we'll just say Once Upon a Time, The Irishman, Marriage Story. Yeah, and then Jojo Rabbit. Oh, that's hard. I think this is just personal favorite, right?
I mean, everything is personal.
these are my personal rankings. Because yeah. I do believe that the race is between 1917 and Parasite.
Agree. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
But just because my heart's there a little bit more, I think it's going to be 1917, Little Women, then Parasite.
Yeah, that's fair.
But those two could also switch in and out, and I wouldn't be mad.
Also, and again, you know me and how I feel about stories of love and garbage. So Little Women has that against it for me. But because it was so well done and it was so well acted.
She just called it garbage.
No.
She used garbage in the love same sentence garbage. As Little Women.
You know what I mean.
No, you said garbage in the same sentence as Little Women. I'm just kidding. I'm just...
So that's... No, I'm kidding.
The face so she gave me.
That's I guess murder's happening.
That's the part that makes it below 1917. But at the same time, I did like spending time with those characters. Mm-hmm. Even though it didn't have like the technical marvel that
yeah.
was 1917. So it could go back and forth. But I agree. It's between Parasite and 1917 without question.
Yeah. Yeah. So Little Women and 1917 can swap in and out for second and third. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be mad yeah. at either. Not that they get like a second place medal.
Now that you've seen... Well, I mean, we haven't talked about it yet, but now that you've seen all of them, what do you think, honestly, will win?
My gut is hoping for another Moonlight situation where God, we don't expect it and Parasite is going to win it.
Tears.
But I think it has 1917 has a good chance of taking it.
And honestly, if it won, I wouldn't be too upset.
I wouldn't be upset if either of them won. I want Parasite to win for the monumental moment in history it will be. Deal. And I think it's deserving of it.
Also, because I think Parasite has something to say.
Yeah.
And it was, that has a lot to do with it, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
So my heart wants it to be Parasite, but my gut thinks it could be.
There's an article from LA Times that's like, Parasite doesn't need the Oscars, but the Oscars needs Parasite.
Yeah, I saw that headline. I saw that.
I read
title.
Part of the article. It's really great.
I saw that headline.
You should read the article. It's really good.
But I haven't read it yet. Yeah.
It's really good. Yoi?
Okay, so I had to write them down because I can't think of
it. No, that's fine. I wrote mine down too.
It's interchangeable, the bottom places between Joker and Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hollywood as a whole.
Most of Hollywood, yeah.
Yikes.
Quentin Tarantula can stay in the garbage. Fuck Quentin Tarantula. I said it.
Tarantula.
He's a fucking tarantula. He's a creep. He's gross.
Lena Dunham, of all people.
Fucking garbage. How dare you?
I'm still mad. I had to watch a movie with Lena Dunham in it.
I can't believe I was forced to do that. That was worse.
You didn't even know it was her.
That was worse than the war movie. Are you kidding me?
I think what makes me most mad about that is like I felt like I wasted my time, and when I waste my time, it makes me angry. So I'm like, what? Anyways, we already talked about that movie, so keep going.
Okay, so those are interchangeable for the bottoms. And then I'll put Marriage Story because that was bland as fuck. I could have watched it on Lifetime or something. No, Lifetime would have been more entertaining. And then. The Irishman? For Robert De Niro alone, I'm going to put The Irishman Agreed. Above That's Marriage fair. Story.
Oh, yeah.
There's
acting going on there.
God.
And the beautiful. Only reason it's a Marriage Story is above The Irishman for me is because I got to see Adam Driver's face.
Oh, yeah. That's
Adam
right.
Driver singing Sondheim.
Thirsty Thursday.
And a good Sondheim. There wasn't the
oh, that's right.
stupid Send in one the clown.
butchered such a good song.
Okay, so The Irishman... Above Marriage Story. Okay. And then after The Irishman is Jojo Rabbit. And then Little Women. Then 1917. And Parasite's on the top.
That's my rating, basically.
We all pretty much have the same. Just like yeah. mm-hmm. a few...
Is that boring? Should we fight some more?
So. No, we that was for
let's fight bitch.
No, we fought. What was that? Jojo Rabbit? We fought a little bit.
Yeah, those are not
because Sam Rockwell is our like divider.
I think it just speaks to that we're all similar.
And that's true.
We all
yeah.
have the same kind
we
of
all
taste.
Have good taste.
And we well that's true.
For the most
and we
part.
Also see things like we come at it a different way. And
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, for sure. There's I different like perspectives. Personally, I'm still emotionally traumatized by 1917, but the fact that it is a technical marvel and the fact that I got to experience that cinematography in my eyeballs and like no matter if I had like I had an appointment with the eye doctor in the morning and I couldn't really see that well, it was still visually like rich.
Joy was wearing her sunglasses in the theater.
I was. Oh my God. I was. So I got my eyes dilated. And so, like, I couldn't see, obviously, because things were so fucking bright.
Like her life.
And so, like, the first chunk of the movie before they go into No Man's Land, I had my sunglasses on. And even through part of that, I was like, I can't see. Which is fine, because I didn't want to see a lot of that. It was horrifying, truly. But on technical merit alone, I'm, like, really sorry to say that I have to put 1917 over Little Women.
Yeah, I get it.
But I do. And I'm, like, mad at myself.
Don't be mad at yourself.
I'm mad at you, too. How dare you?
I'm not mad at you. I stand with you. And, like, that one over there.
I don't want to. You bitch. I don't want to support, like, a war movie because that's disgusting. But technically... Yeah. Sam Mendes, like, fucking, he did that.
And we talked about this before in Marriage Story, but Revolutionary Road, he also directed that. And that's really great, some really great shots in that as well. Mm-hmm. He did,
he did the Bond movies, right? I posted it on our, I posted it on our Instagram. There was a one shot from Revolutionary Road. The one from Marriage Story that fucking irks the shit out of me is when they fade from Scarlett Johansson facing right and then Adam Driver facing left. Oh, that's
so cheesy.
And it's cheesy as fuck. And I was like, no, Baumbach, you're a talentless hack. But Revolutionary Road, when I was looking up pictures for that, because I know we had talked about comparisons, there's a shot where they're in the kitchen and they're back to back, but not in the same, like, in the same distance. But the frame puts them back to back. And it was really
it's
great. Cause
it's that, that movie is so...
He directed American Beauty.
That's also a great movie. Yeah, never he seen did. That. It's, I mean, it's got Kevin Spacey in it, but other than that, I watched it years ago and it's, I think it won Best Picture that year. It was nominated or something.
I had one of my old roommates, he was obsessed with it. He kept talking about it. It was his favorite movie. So I finally watched it, and it's wonderful.
It's really good.
I've never seen it.
It's really good.
But yeah. So yeah, I mean, Parasite deserves to win. We know in our heart of hearts that it deserves to win. Will it win? I'm not sure because it got the SAG Ensemble Award, but 1917 got the Producers Guild Award.
I think they're neck and neck, and it could go either way.
Because there's not another award to give out between now and then that matters as much as those two.
There's the award in my heart.
True. Also, Sam Mendes directed the TV version of Cabaret with Alan Cumming.
Speaking of which, when you sent me those gifs yesterday, I was like, I have to rewatch Cabaret.
So many good ones.
Cabaret, Alan Cumming.
Fun fact, listeners. Every Thursday.
Oh God! They're going to wear shame.
Every Thursday, we send each other.
I exit.
Pretty pictures of men thirsty.
Joy has left the chat.
Okay. Joy has left the chat. It's trivia time. Thank you for joining in.
Trivia with Anna.
Oh my God.
Trivia time with Anna. Okay. With which film was Sylvester Stallone nominated for Best Actor in 1977?
Rocky.
That one was easy.
I guessed that. I went when I was in Philadelphia. I saw the Rocky statue in the stairs, and there was a huge line to take a picture of the statue. And I was like, I'm good. I don't. Hey, Rocky! And then that was it. And then I left.
That's hilarious.
Donald Duck co-hosted the 1958 Academy Awards. True or false?
True.
Very true.
With who?
That sounds ridiculous.
I don't
Mickey
know.
Mickey Mouse, probably.
Come on, you don't I know how these questions. I think I read it, but I don't remember. I'm sorry. How many times did Bob Hope host the Academy Awards?
Multiple choice?
Oh.
I didn't write any down, but I can
Yeah, mix them up. Thank you.
15.
Jesus.
12. 17. Or 19.
Shit, that many?
16. I'm
going to go with 15.
15, 12,
17.
19. 19, 17. The year of our Lord, 1917.
I said 17.
And you said 15?
Yeah.
It is 19.
Damn.
Wow. Damn.
In inches. How tall?
You guys totally missed the beautiful wink that Anna gave us right after that.
You're welcome. In inches, how tall is the Oscar statue? Oh, again, hold on, some hold
No, I'm trying to picture it.
Joy's measuring it.
No, I know how to measure stuff. That's what I do for a living.
Oh, I just got like winded.
Okay, I'm going to let you come up with a wild guess before I give multiple choice.
I think, hold on. So that's about 12 inches. So I would say.
This is adorable.
Let's go. Ooh. I'm going to say 13.
I'm going to say 13.1.
Drew. Shut up, bitch. Fuck you.
And the winner is Crystal. The answer is 13.5.
Shit, I was so close.
You were so close.
Oh, good job.
I was rooting for you.
I'm happy
for
you.
Wow.
We were all rooting for you.
I know how to measure shit. I know how to do my job.
I know. That's good.
When she literally said that's about 12 inches, I was like, bitch is almost there.
Bitch, I know my
13.1. That was my answer, Drew.
Put me on Project Runway. No, don't do it. Don't do it. No,
I need to catch up on that.
Just give me money to go to Mood.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
One more left, guys.
We can do it.
We're going to do it. It's going to be great.
What'd you think of the movie? Let us know. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm posting on Instagram like regularly now.
She does it in batches every couple of days.
That's fine.
Well, it's better than none.
No, true. I love it. I appreciate your posts.
I'm just like, here's five in a row and nothing for a week.
That's fine.
Works.
Yeah. All right.
So
thanks, friends. We'll see you later.
Catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.